Oh my God. I'll have to edit that out. Hello and welcome to Such a Day, a Warhammer 40,000 Gene Stealer Cult podcast. I'm here with Frank, who has just went best in faction at LVO with a fantastic 5-1 run, bringing Biosynctic Brood Surge. This is post day slate, so post nerf. So all the big host nerfs are in effect, as well as some really important changes to specifically 5-man aberrants. Frank, how are you doing?
Doing good. I'm not jet lagged anymore. Happy to be home from the US, back in Sweden.
Absolutely.
I'm good.
Nice, man. So, Frank, real quick, how long have you been playing GSE?
I started with Gene Stealers in August, and I built an host expansion army over a weekend, and then I tried to get as many games in as possible and prepare my host for LVO. And then there was a nerf, and then I had to make a new army. And then,
nice.
So not very long.
You've only been playing GSC since August, and then running it to a really impressive record. That's awesome. Overall, what you think about the army?
I mean, it's a very fun army to play, and it's a very fun. It's very flexible in all the things that you can do, and I've been playing Imperial Knights for a long time. And just it's a luxury to have all the scoring pieces in a GC list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
late game 5-man flat kills, just scoring all the points.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
You go and spend two Xena bucks, and then they're back in the sky and doing it again. Oh yeah, for sure. So why don't we go through your list real quick, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Just starting from the top if you have it in front of you.
Yeah. So the main base of the army is three abominants with three aberrants, or 3 5-men of aberrants. I was thinking about which enhancements to use, but I ended up with the infantry enhancement on one of the abominants and the -1 OC enhancement on one abominant. Then just have one naked guy. I got a Bifagus with 10 men of the water pistol acolyte with the mining tools.
Mm-hmm.
One patriarch with a biomorph adaptation, the +1 AP and +1 damage mm-hmm. enhancements, running with a 10 men of pure strains. And then I have all the lone ops in the world. I got 2 subterrors and one of each kinds of Sanctus. Then just for scoring, I got 2 units of Acolytes and Hand Flamers. And filling it out is 2 Ridge Runners and 2 Rock Runners, and then also one more 5-man of Gene Stealers.
Nice. Hell yeah. So, with the Rock Grinders, did you start all 3 Abbey units on the board? Like one with Infiltrate and the other 2 in the Rock Grinders?
Yeah, I think I did that every single match. I never popped them in D-Strike ever.
Mm-hmm. And nice. And did you feel... Oh, yeah. So what were you saying? Sorry?
For most games, I felt like they would be more... Or they could zone off and scare off opponents from certain parts of the board with the because they get ridiculous threat range from the Rock Riders combined with the plus the charge strat, so they can zone off big piece of the board and people are pretty scared of them.
Yeah. Now I've been messing with MSU 5-mans in my host list, and even then without the strat support, like, they're still just brutal to kind of chew through.
Yeah,
you know, especially with the abominants standing back up.
Yeah,
Nice. So how did you feel about the Rock Grinders? How did they perform for you?
Oh, I love them. They pull the points every single game. I don't think the laser actually did any damage at all.
Yeah.
But just having mind lasers also just scares off some people. Mm-hmm. They have a potential to do things in that. I can, because it's like the only shooting thing out on the list. So I'm happy to have them to just scare people off from certain firing lanes and just keep people away. But damage wise, they did nothing at all. The melee weapons performed great, and their ability was probably the best thing about them.
The no fallback.
Yeah, or desperate escape when falling back.
Yeah.
In my second match, I played against Subterranean Assault Tyranids, and then in that match, they killed a whole bunch of the Tyrant Guard, the one with the shock cannons.
Oh yeah, like the Hive
Guard. Big 3 unit piece. Yeah. Hive Guard. Yeah. Yeah. I think three or four died when they tried to fell back.
Of course.
So yeah, that one pulled its weight, and just okay. Yeah. I mean, they're tough. It's an extra opportunity for some mortals from a tank shock. And OC3 is pretty handy to have.
Yeah.
I like them.
Did you feel like was there ever a discussion internally between taking those and two man laser runners?
Not really. I felt that based on the GW terrain, it would be a bit tricky to navigate with two units of or two models of Rich Runners, and I would prefer to hold people back instead of exposing things in firing lanes and then forcing opponents out in the open where I would get overwatched to death with the acolytes with auto pistols. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I wanted to the lasers from the Rich Runners are good, but it didn't really seem worth it to me. And I wanted both the fallback thing, because one of the, or I think I played two practice games with this list before LVO, and one of them was against a Necron list with a 20-man unit of Necron Warriors. Mm-hmm. with the invul and the fall back in shoot whatever.
Yeah, the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. For that matchup, I was really happy with the Rock Grinders. And I think just tagging all the warriors and forcing fallbacks was one of the, that's when I realized that I did the right choice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. So real quick, we'll just go through your run at LVO. So it looks like game one you played against Death Guard Demons. How'd that game go for you?
It was a tricky one to start with because I have a hard time killing both the green and clean one and Rodigus. Mm-hmm. They are incredibly tanky and can also slap back pretty hard as well. Mm-hmm. Mortarion, he had a great and clean one, Rodigus and Mortarion. And those were almost the only things I was scared of in the list. Yeah, he had some Death Shrouds, but I don't think that Death Shroud do well enough into the Aberrants to actually be a bit of a threat. And with all the lone ops, I can also. Mm-hmm. I can zone him out pretty easily.
Yeah, with a minus one to wound, plus them being two damage swings.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Aberrants are able to take a punch. And with the fight on death, you know, they can kill some in response as well. So it's actually, yeah, you're right. It's not a great trade for Death Shroud into Aberrants.
Hmm. And Aberrants have pretty decent weapons for killing Death Shrouds as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hit on threes, wound on fours, and they get straight through imbals.
Mm-hmm.
So those weren't a problem. And for the match, I decided to ignore Rodigus and just target the Great Things Lead one with everything I had when he barged into me. He deployed the Great and Clean one in a way that it was very obvious that he was gonna just bum rush for my deployment zone with him. Yeah. And Subterus did an amazing job with popping mortals into him. So I managed to kill him before he did too much damage.
Okay.
I think my Biophagus did 10 wounds. In the melee.
The Biophagus?
Yeah.
Oh, what the... But, oh my god. Yeah, because you popped the best day ever on him, and then he just rolled a shit ton of lethals. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's five saves, five attacks. Mm-hmm. And I think I got two lethals, and he failed both gambles, and then D3 plus 3 damage.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Stingy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So he went down, and then another really big swing in the match was that Mortarion did not get to fight on death, which he had planned on. It's on a 2-up, and he rolled 1 on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Mortarion went down, and then he had Rodigus left, and I didn't have enough tools to kill Rodigus, but I could just dance around him with the lawn-ups and score points.
Nice. And how'd the blow drones do into you? Did you feel like those were tricky to navigate around as well, or do you feel like that they weren't really affecting the matchup too much?
No, they're pretty, because they are always pretty obvious, and they're pretty easy to just move around. And I was lucky with the fire lines and the terrain on the table, so I managed to just dance around them, and then I made sure that my lawn ops were always 22 inches away from them, so that I could never get shot by the lawn ops. So I kept dancing.
Nice. Really good. Yeah, so you met, I believe in that game, that was a... 89 point victory for you, so really good, really solid score. All right, sweet. So game two looked like that's where you went into Subterranean Assault. What was your thoughts on this matchup? Because I have my own, I've played host into this, and so I'm curious about what you were gonna say.
I think it's a tricky matchup. They can deep strike a lot of things in your face that you don't want to have in your face. But I was lucky with... I got to deploy my infiltrators first, and I just instantly windmill slapped the Patriarch and Gene Slayers in my... what's it called? There was an L. I popped them in the L. And then I went first, and I just went for it. I think I went for a 9 in charge with the pluses, but I had to go for it, otherwise I could just get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But Gene Slayers, and I charged into it was a bit of a weird Subterranean Assault list, because he had no Raveners and no Trigons, but he had 2 Molochs, and those were the only burrower things he had in the list.
Yeah, and so he deployed them. Yeah.
Yeah. Then no more armor rule or detachment rule. So I went for those two, because he also put them next to each other in, like, on his home objective, but the Gene Slayers could reach them. So I did, and I killed killed one of them, and I got one of them down to maybe 4 wounds remaining. So almost dead.
The 10 man with the paddy.
Yeah. Yeah. The traitor, he just rips things to shreds.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love fighting when it's hilarious.
Oh yeah. Did you so I guess at that point you only had the 1 CP, so did you just use the 1 CP on the big charge?
Yeah, I think I charged something else as well in his bio work was also in within reach.
Oh, okay, to add to the charge roll. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah. Tagged him and then managed to screen most things.
Mm-hmm. Looking at his list, he was not trying to fight Brood Surge because he has 12 Zoanthropes.
Yeah. So, they did not pull the weight at all.
Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Like, at the very most, you can kill 6 Aberrants, but you're probably not. You're killing maybe 2 to 3, like, if everything goes well. Yeah.
And he also had an interesting approach to the game because he said that I don't understand Gene Stealers and I'm not aiming to understand Gene Stealers. So you do your thing and I won't bother with trying to know your rules.
I hear that so often. Like, especially playing host, and I start rattling off, like, oh, I got 6-inch Steep Shrek, and I got crit on 5s, and they're like, you could just see in their eyes, like, they're just zoning out.
Yeah.
They're like, all sure, dude.
Eating just, the body.
Just do whatever you want. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I was playing on it anyway. No, I did play a host game into Subterranean Assault, and I was a little worried at first. That I was worried that, like, okay, they're kind of doing what I'm doing, but they can, you know, charge out of the 6 inches. So I was like, you know, whenever I'm afraid of something, especially as GSC, I just kind of disrespect it. I'm just like, I'm going to put things in your face and I'm going to try and fuck up your game plan as best as I can. And my God, do Nids just fold to pressure. Collapse, man. You know.
Yeah, and that's what I was hoping for as well. Like, if he can play his game, I think he's gonna win. So I felt like the best thing that I could do was just fuck up his game plan and charge him turn one.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, whenever I play Brood Surge, that's really what I'm trying to do as well. Just like, give me somewhere something is getting charged. Turn one, whether it be my pure strains or aberrants, I'm ending up in your house somehow. Well, really nice game into that. Looks like that was a 80 point win in your favor. So going on to game 3,
my worst game.
Oh, it was orcs.
In the weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy, he was playing a list with 2 Gargantuan Squiggoths.
2 Gargantuan Squiggoths.
Yeah.
Those things are actually surprisingly scary. Like, I remember seeing one on stream and I looked at its data sheet and I'm like, oh my God, that thing's actually kind of a beast.
Yeah, it can kill most things in melee.
Mm-hmm.
But not Aberrants.
Not Aberrants.
But the problem with this was that as soon as I first talked with my opponent, I realized that he was really, really drunk.
Oh, no.
He was really drunk, and he started out with just a negative attitude about the game.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We had he went first, and he moved. We had a long argument about his movement because he deployed I think we play Hammer and Anvil, so it's an 18-inch deployment zone. Mm-hmm. And one of the terrain pieces, it starts at 28 inches from his home. And his Squiggoth, they have a 12-inch move. No, a 10-inch move, sorry. And he was arguing that, well, if I deploy on the line, my tusks are in no man's land, so they are in front of 18. And I said, well, but you can't put the tusks outside of your deployment zone and then measure from them. Mm-hmm. But he was arguing that, well, I could walk and then I could be above the ruin and then see through the ruin, because they are titanic as well. Yeah, and then from that point onward, he was cheating about most things. He cheated with his data sheets and stats and everything. And yeah, it was a tricky game to try to navigate, because he was also, aside from cheating all the time, he was also very drunk.
Yeah, so trying to speak sense to him was probably
yeah. But eventually judges came and helped us out, and in turn four, I think it was, he just left. He left the table, and the judges say, or they said that I was allowed to play my turn four and five, even though he had left the table.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it was a weird experience.
Was that the first time where you had someone just come up to a table wasted and just leave like halfway through?
Yep.
Only at LVO.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
not the custom in Swedish tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good win for you. Sorry you had to go through that bit of a headache, but, you know, I'm sure just looking at his list, won anyway, because, Squigoths are pretty annoying takedown when you're plus one to wound and you have a 10-man U of pure strains with our twin linked with the patty. I
actually killed one turn one.
Oh, did you? With the patty or patty brick or with the
actually the acolytes.
Oh, the acolytes. That's right. The 10-man with the biophagus. Yeah, yeah. How did those just? Oh, we'll go back a little bit more over your list a little bit later, but. How did you feel about the 10-man with the biophagus?
I liked it a lot. They die really easily, but they can do a lot of damage before they go down. And in my, I was counting on playing knights at least one of the games, and I did in my turn five. And for a knight matchup, they are. Really scary threat, because they can, they have the potential to do a lot of really scary damage to a knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, because he can make him AP3, and then on the charge, it's, what's it?
18 swings.
18, yeah, 18 attacks with lethal hits. So, yeah, that's actually a really, really good unit. I've been looking at those guys for Xenocreed. Potentially taking 2 10-mans for that, but no, that's I was curious what you felt about that. Sweet. So going on to day two, your game four. I believe that one was your World Eaters, right? Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So, how'd this go for you?
I mean, World Eaters is a tricky matchup, because I am a weird melee army into an actual good melee army.
Yeah.
This was an uphill battle, mentally. But we played Linchpin, I think, and I managed to score primary throughout the game. But we had a really interesting rules run in at the end of turn five. Because he had the World Leader's Sword Fiends, and they reroll hits at the closest eligible target. But GW, they recently posted an FAQ about closest eligible targets during Overwatch. And they're really, it's really weird. But the question is, when using the Fire Overwatch stratagem, it's a selected unit, the closest eligible target. And the answer from GW is, yes, if it is the closest unengaged visible enemy unit. And the situation was that he had assassinate the secondary active, and I had an abominant on 3 wounds remaining, and a Sanctus. Those were both close to a forge feed. But what I did was that the Abominant was 14 inches away, and I moved the Sanctus first, and I popped the Sanctus 12.1 inches away from 14. And then I moved the Aberrant. Then I moved the Abominant. And based on the GW FAQ, since the answer is that it's the closest unengaged visible enemy unit and not just unengaged eligible unit, since the Sanctus was visible to the 14, it shouldn't get rerolls against the Abominant.
Oh, yeah, that is a very, very interesting, like, rules. And I guess, I mean, technically, rules as written, and I'm sure this is what the judge has said as well, is, yeah, he wouldn't be getting the rerolls against the Abominant, huh?
Yeah, and, well, I stumbled onto this this ruling night before because I was reading FAQs for fun before going to sleep. And I stumbled onto this, and I asked a friend who's a WTC judge about the interaction. And he said, well, it's self-explanatory. If a lone-up is visible but not eligible, it is not getting rerolls against things further away from the lone-up. But the problem was that the judges, I think they went back and forward six times on the rules, and they changed mine six times in total.
Okay.
But in the end, they ended up ruling against GW, which was really weird. And I didn't understand the reasoning, and I asked one of the judges about it afterwards, and he wasn't very, very happy to explain it. I think they spent maybe like 30, 40 minutes just debating with all the judges in a pile.
Yeah.
But in the end, they ruled against GW FAQ, which is interesting.
So did they rule in favor, essentially, of the rerolls against the Abominant?
Yeah.
Huh. And
this was, I went first, and this was in my turn five. Mm-hmm. And he ended up killing the Abominant with the rerolls. First, he missed all the shots, but then with the rerolls, he got two hits, and then dead Abominant.
Yeah.
And he would have won the game, but then, just for fun, he charged with his Demon Prince into a Sanctus. But it was a Demon Prince on one wound, and I had one CP remaining. And I also had Assassinate active. So I blew the Sanctus up with an explosion stratagem in Bisanctic.
With the... with the D3 mortals when a character dies?
Yeah. And then I got assassinated, and then I won the game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So
it was a really, really close game.
Yeah. So it was like a tier 3-point win?
Yeah, it was really, really close. I think I won by... I won by 4 points, because he would have won by 1 point otherwise.
Oh, that's so funny.
I felt at the time that it was a bit of a dick move. Because he had won the game. If he hadn't had charge, he would have won. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like it was weird that the judges ruled against FAQ, and I would have won the game as long as they wouldn't have done that. And since the judge thing took so long, we had run out of time on the game, so there was a judge who was standing by the table just watching me through the last parts of the game, just to make sure that, or since we had timed out officially, he just wanted to make sure that things went as planned. Mm-hmm. And then when he charged, and I did the stratagem, and it's on a 2-up that they explode, and I rolled a 2-up, and he took the damage, and the Imprince died. I won the game. And then my opponent said, well, obviously, I didn't want to do this. This was stupid. I would have won the game if I hadn't had charged. But then the judge who was standing by the table said that, well, your opponent, he had to roll a dice in order to ensure that the Demon Prince got the mortals, and then now you can't go back.
Yeah,
which is kind of
a, I mean, like, as someone who plays a lot of Abominance, I can't tell you how many times those assholes don't roll a 2-up and don't stay back. You know what I mean? Like, I got ones are built into my genes, so it could have easily just been like, you rolled a 1 and then he wins, right? So, yeah, and I definitely feel like that kind of frustration, like, of a ruling where it's, I can understand how it's like, not even necessarily a bit of a gotcha, like, because everyone knows about this FAQ by now, especially World Leaders players. But so expecting, you know, I mean, to be able for people to play around it should be part of your planning process. Is like, people are going to know that, you know, they're going to throw something in my face that's going to prevent me from doing the rerolls. So
yeah,
that would definitely be annoying to hear that for them to go back, because I'm sure they were probably like thinking, oh well, it's kind of bullshit that they used the loan op. But as you said in the FAQ, it has nothing about eligibility. It's about just line of sight, because there's not many instances where that comes up. Like, I think GSC are probably one of the few things where, you know, we have like uppy downy loan ops like GSC and NIDS, where that would really make that not a good situation.
It was a tricky thing, but I also felt that it was a bit, I didn't feel like I pulled a gotcha with the explosion strat, because I had, or when I play, I usually warn against the gotchas in the beginning of the game, and then I warned them once more during the game, but I had exploded characters a lot of times during the game.
I mean, I feel like, especially because I've played, you know, I played against Elias, you know, our mutual buddy, and a few other Swedes, and, you know, like, I've never run into any situation where there's like obvious gotchas, like, especially if you warn someone, you know, a few times, like, eventually they kind of have to play their own game. You know, if you decide to run across the field into a unit of 5 rubrics and stand on an objective, like, you should know that you're about to get your ass blasted. No, awesome. Yeah, I definitely feel like this is tricky. I recently played a game into one of my buddies, and I brought 30. I did a 30 aberrant brood surge list, which is a lot of fun. I don't know how good it is. It's because sometimes it wins, but I wonder if those wins, if they would have won with the 5-mans. But, you know, whatever. It's funny to have 40 aberrants essentially with the resurrect. He played into World Eaters, and just the amount of fighting on deathing, like, between everything, like, it was just a fucking mess. And it was it was definitely an interesting game. But yeah, you do bring up a good point with Brood Surge, is like, we have like a good melee detachment, but it's not the best melee army to exist. So versus playing against the best melee army arguably in the game. But really well done. Even if this was your loss, like, still keeping it close into World Leaders. I think World Leaders are one of our hardest matchups when playing Brood Surge. Especially if you going first. Like, that's very difficult. All right. So that was your game 4. So game 5, that was your one loss into, it looks like that was into Ben Jurek. So, you know, one of the one of the really good players we have here in the States. One of the big dogs.
And I played him on the GW stream as well.
Oh, nice. So, oh, awesome. I'll have to go back and watch that.
The game is somewhere up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really fun game. Ben was an amazing opponent, and I had a really great time just talking to him.
Yeah.
I traveled to LBO with with a good friend and colleague, and he's always talking about a saying that is what is it? Lose a game, win a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and in the match against the Knights, I definitely got a friend.
Yeah,
but it was a really tricky match. Yeah.
For sure.
Triple destroyers
are a lot of damage
too.
Yeah.
It was we play. It was also on a horrible mission. I felt like it. It was, we played on hidden supplies, and a map with an entirely open middle, so both the two middle objectives were completely visible. They had no terrain on them whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's
really no. Wait. It was the GW4.
GW4. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
It's the one with the weird, like it, both of the corner objectives are really, really easy to hold because they have weird terrain features.
Yeah.
And we played Search and Destroy as well. And basically, I held my home objective and my expansion objective for the entire game, and he didn't even come close to those two.
Yeah.
But he went out with Rodigus early in the middle and parked Rodigus on both the middle objectives. And then Rodigus sat there. And I had to get rid of him.
Yeah.
I think he went first in the match. So his turn two, he walked out with Rodigus and parked him on the objectives. And I just realized I had to get rid of him. So my turn two, I went out with the 10 man Insulars and 1-5 men of Aberrants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also as well, I popped out with one of the Saboteurs and popped a grenade into him and a demo charge. But he lived on 4 wounds.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I don't think any of the Abominant swings actually got through. He saved 3 or 4. I was really happy because I got 4 wounds through an Abominant, and that with only, and the guy had 4 wounds remaining, so it felt pretty good. But yeah, he rolled all the 4s.
Yeah,
unfortunately, and then Rodigus lived, and he felt like he won the match in that moment.
Yeah, because at that point, all that 5-man's dead. The pier strains are dead. The Abominant, maybe stands back up and then gets probably charged by Rodigus and dies. So yeah,
my patriarch had a bit of a moment because the 10-man gene sellers, they survived 2 deployers, I think it was.
Oh wow.
And only the patriarch lived after that. But then I think Rodigus shot him or something else, or he got shot by Carnivore or something. And then he died in an undramatic death.
Yeah.
But he did tank 2 of the big guys, and I was hoping on being able to knock a few wounds of one of the big knights if he would have survived. Mm-hmm. But he did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. Knights are one of those armies where, like, if you swing at them and miss, like they're just standing there, looking right at you, and you are fucked, and you are indeed fucked. So, but I mean, that's awesome that you guys had a good game, and that's something I noticed. Like as I play GTs, like once I leave like the 3-0 kind of bracket going to like 4-0, 5-0 or whatever, like the game's just become so much better because you're playing against like better opponents who, you know, are much more, they're much more big picture, you know, whenever it comes to the game. So like being off like by a millimeter, like they're like, you know, whatever, fix that, you know, it's a lot more play by intent, a lot kinder games. So, you know,
For sure.
It's nice to kind of get in that realm. Sweet. So after Ben Jurek, you had one last game playing against World Eaters again.
More World Eaters, yeah.
All right. So how did this go compared to the last one?
this one, it felt a lot better. He had a bit more. I can't remember the difference in lists, but it was a much easier list to play against.
Looks like he brought Warmongers, 2x10.
Had the Warmongers.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 Exalted, which don't really matter for you too much. And then 1 regular 8-bound. And then 2x10 Zerks. He's got 2 Slaughterbounds and Invo Karn to go with one of the Zerks.
I don't remember. He had so many units and just solo Slaughterbounds, and his problems was just filled with things. I managed to the one time that the trucks actually did some damage with lasers was that they almost killed the Demon Prince with the lasers. He had managed. Well, I turned one charge in with the Gene Slayers and killed a few things. Killed a Forge Fiend and Spawns and Jackals. Mm-hmm. And then he had some infantry hanging out with the Demon Prince, so that the Demon Prince got blown up. But then they charged off to kill the Gene Slayers. And then he only had a Slaughterbound who was on his home objective and who was giving blown up through a wall to a Demon Prince in the open.
Mm-hmm.
But then in my turn 2, I got Overwhelming Force and I couldn't get any, I couldn't reach anything on objectives. But he left a pocket in his deployment zone for a 5-man of Flame Acolytes. So I popped both of my Bridge Runners into that guy and the Flamers.
So I killed. Don't tell me the Flamers did it.
The Flamers did it.
Oh yeah, we love to see it. Yeah, because he's T5, right? The Slaughterbound.
No, he's T6.
He's T6. So on sixes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
But with two of the Ridge Runners, I managed to pop a few wounds there, and then a few with the Flamers.
Mm-hmm. Because you had one. You had one of the Ridge Runners with the Survey Auger, right, for Ignore's Cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah. So you'd be gaining. So the next one would get AP1 no cover, and then hitting on fours instead of fives. So yeah. And then being shrink six, like I frequently, like especially against elves, like my turn one, I'm normally just killing like 5-mans with those like warp spiders, wherever the fuck they got, just kind of hanging around. Like Ridge Runners just go off and kill some shit for free. Yeah. People forget, they actually do damage. Like, it's not just for marking things.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I feel like people always underestimate them. And for that game, since I managed to kill the Slaughterbound, then I got to shoot with two Rock Gunners with the lasers into the Demon Prince, who was just standing there without something giving him blown up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I killed him down to maybe 2 wounds remaining, so that he wasn't as big of a threat, because he would die to one Aberrant fighting back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So it was it was an easier game than my game 4 against World Leaders. Mm-hmm. But what sealed the deal was that he heroically intervened with Karn and a 10-man of Berserkers into, I think, a 5-man of Gene Slayers, and that got me close enough to charge with an aberrant unit into them.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so when they charged in, I'm guessing some of them had to base like around one of the sides, which made that that charge easier. Yeah.
And then, I think those guys killed the entire squad.
Yeah. No, that's and that great. Was.
That felt like the game there, and this was maybe turn 3 or turn 4, and the car with the 10-man was a bit of a scary threat who were hanging out and behind a building that I couldn't reach at all.
Yeah.
So I got those guys for free.
Nice. Hell yeah. And I think something that's nice about Brood Surge, especially into World Eaters, like I know playing host into World Eaters can be tricky because a lot of the times you're wanting to shoot them with Ridge Runners. And so they have the Blood Surge. So you 6-inch deep striking to maybe stand on an objective means like they could just spend a CP to auto Blood Surge 8. And then all of a sudden, boom, your neophytes are getting stuck in combat. But since everything you have is AP2, you know, you're not really incentivized to necessarily have to mark the
I had one of my tournament games with hosts preparing for LDO. I had a game against World Leaders, and I had to mark a 10-man, and I rolled a 6 on the number of shots with a mortar, and I realized that this is going to go bad. And so I command rerolled a 6 and hoped for something less, but I got another 6.
Oh no.
Which is usually not the way you do it, but it, I almost lost the game because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And because you rolled it and then you realized, oh my God, I'm about to like have these guys.
I'm about to kill the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got the blood surge into something and fucked up my game plan.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. Like a lot of times, like I just don't even mark them. I'm like, I hope to God that these neophytes just fucking pop off.
Yeah.
But so that was your last game. Overall, like I said earlier, going 5-1, ending up in 24th place out of what was it? A lot.
589.
Yeah. So great, great showing. How'd you feel about your list? How'd you feel about GSC?
I'm very, very happy with the list. I'm definitely gonna keep playing it. In Sweden, we usually go for WTC terrain, and it is a lot easier to play on WTC terrain with all the all the staging points. Yeah. So I think this weekend I'm going to a tournament with I'm going to play Admech. But next weekend I think it's Biosanctic again.
Nice. Got to play Biosanctic again. When will you be convinced to play the Holy 30 Aberrant Brood Surge list? You gotta experience muscle beach.
I have been pressured to do it, but I gotta build the models first.
Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
I built all the models very, very stressfully. And because the data slate, it dropped in completely the wrong time. It was very tricky. And had having to build almost a 2,000 point army in 2 days was hell.
Oh yeah. Oh, I feel that, brother. I've spent my very first GT I brought GSC to. I want to upgrade my list with 40 more neophytes, and I had to get them all built and painted in like 2 days or something like that. And I wanted to cry. that's why those 40 look like shit. But no, that's awesome. I think, is there anything about your list that you'd want to change or anything that like, that you want to experiment with?
The only thing that I could think of is because currently I have two Sanctuses, one with knife and one with rifle. Yeah. And I was thinking about going with two guys with snipers because reactive move is,
for the reactive
is really
move,
handy
yeah.
to have.
Yeah. It makes it really nice. It's because sometimes like people will try and like you can kind of make a like weird situation with the Reductus and them kind of like staying next to each other. So
yeah,
maybe they try to skirt around the edge of the Reductus, but that puts you in 9 of the Sanctus who can then, you know, react and move back and stuff like that. So
yeah,
no, that'd be interesting to see. No, well, thanks again, Frank, for hopping on. Real good job. Do you have any advice for like people trying out GSC for the first time, you know, like maybe new GSC players?
I would say that even though it's very, very tempting to spend all the Xeno bucks, as you said, on the cool big units, I've found that it's almost always more practical to do the $2 or $4 in case of Aberrants.
Mm-hmm.
And not doing the big buybacks. Because if you have a lot of characters, most things don't do as much damage as you would like them to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember the first time I ever brought a toy man of Neophytes back and watching them do absolutely fucking nothing. Kill maybe 5 Marines, and then that was, and then they died again. Yeah.
Tragic. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, Frank, thanks again for hopping on. Appreciate you spending time, and best of luck for your coming up GTs.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, have a good one.